Pop Spotting 208.
Wednesday, February 8th, 2012.
Welcome to Pop Spotting. I'm Jen.
And I am Ryan.
It's Wildcard Wednesday, and before too much of the year gets away from us, we thought we'd look ahead at the movies coming up in 2012 that we're looking forward to the most.
Now, Claudia on Facebook had responded to our Year in Review show with her picks. They went beyond movies to include a new Southern Vampire book coming out this month and the Celebration 6 Star Wars convention coming up this summer.
On the movie front, we rattled off some of the first ones that came to mind, but we knew there were some really great releases coming out this year that we were missing. So today is our 2012 box office preview.
And we will do a top five, but we'll also share a few additional movies that we're keeping on our radar. And I think I'll go first because I think I might have one of the most obvious choices. My number five is The Dark Knight Rises. Yes, I can't deny I'm really excited about this one, although it probably is the most hyped movie of 2012 as well. Christopher Nolan gave us The Dark Knight in 2008, and even though that was a sequel, it really stood alone as an epic superhero movie, and I think even Nolan agreed. Apparently, he thought he was done with Batman after The Dark Knight, but after Inception, which was a pretty darn good film, he was ready to go again. So, The Dark Knight Rises picks up the story 8 years later, and Christian Bale is back, of course, but we're getting two new bad guys, Anne Hathaway and Tom Hardy, as Catwoman and Bane. Michael Caine returns, so does Gary Oldman, Morgan Freeman, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, and Marion Cotillard. There's been so much buildup. There's been video from location shoots and set reports, and I'm kind of already afraid of being disappointed, but this is Christopher Nolan. I've loved him since Memento in 2000, and I think he's done a great job with the Batman story so far, and, you know, a trilogy is a nice number, and I basically have faith that he's going to close out the story in grand style.
Well, I know that I will see anything with Tom Hardy in it. In fact, there's a romantic comedy coming out with Reese Witherspoon. I mean, he's going to make me go out and see a romantic comedy with Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, despite Reese Witherspoon, and despite the fact that it's a romantic comedy, I think you're interested in that one. That's This Means War. And
right.
It actually has your friend Chelsea Handler.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, the author and not-so-successful television comedian, but who knows, maybe she'll translate to the big screen. But yes, Tom Hardy is going to be in The Dark Knight Rises. Christopher Nolan back for one last go, and that opens on July 20th.
My number five is Magic Mike, directed by Steven Soderbergh. I am fascinated by Steven Soderbergh. I think he's inventive and he's fearless. There have been rumors of him retiring, but I really hope not, because even when he has missteps like The Girlfriend Experience, I think he's always interesting. He always brings something fresh and exciting. This movie is starring Channing Tatum, Matthew McConaughey, and Matt Bomer from White Collar. Soderbergh does so many different things. He does big movies and little movies, and this is definitely one of the latter. He co-financed it with Channing Tatum. It's a comedy about a male stripper and his protege, and it's got a great beefcakey cast. It includes McConaughey and Matt Bomer, Joe Manganiello from True Blood, Adam Rodriguez, and Kevin Nash. Some of the female co-stars are Marsea Monroe, Olivia Munn, Wendy McClendon-Covey from Bridesmaids, Riley Keough, aka Elvis's granddaughter, Cody Horn from Rescue Me. And I'm really not sure what I'm picturing with this movie. I think it sounds like it might be his take on Boogie Nights, but kind of via Robert Altman, but maybe with some dark, twisted humor. Anyway, it sounds really interesting. It is partly based on Tatum's own experiences as an exotic dancer in Florida. In fact, it was shot in Tampa, where Channing Tatum is from. It's scheduled to open on June 29th.
You know, I didn't even know about this film until you put it on your list, but I'm certainly on board for a Soderbergh film. And he's just so versatile. This is the guy who gave us Ocean's 11. He gave us Out of Sight, you know, some really great films. Of course, he gave us Ocean's 12. But he's also done those small films, and I think I like those better. Now, you didn't like The Girlfriend Experience. That was with Sasha Gray. Definitely a little experimental. I didn't think it was that bad, but he also did Bubble, you know, a very small, very modest film.
Bubble is a very interesting film. Not a lot of people saw it, but if you're in the mood for something a little bit different, I would check it out.
Yeah, Bubble is kind of a film that I feel like if I were a film student, I might try to recreate just as an exercise. I mean, that's how modest the production was, but I thought a pretty cool, pretty charming story. So great pick. My number four is going from the really obvious to perhaps my more obscure pick, at least I hope it is Moonrise Kingdom. Now, the biggest plus for this movie may also be its minus, depending on your point of view, because it is a Wes Anderson film. And, you know, he's got a very distinct, very quirky, sometimes disorienting style. And I'm actually not 100% in love with everything he's done, which is odd because even in my head, I know that I can see a specific style and a specific feel. Some of his movies just really get me, and some of them, I just can't get into them at all. But I'm absolutely open to more. I mean, this was the guy who gave us Rushmore and the Royal Tenenbaums and, you know,
Fantastic Mr. Fox, which is an animated film, which I loved.
Oh, that actually, yeah, was the stop motion film. Mm-hmm. It looked really weird and very strange. And I don't even know how that went over at all, but I'm glad we went out to see that. And for this film, for Moonrise Kingdom, it's the cast that kind of moved it up on my list. I mean, certainly some familiar faces from Wes Anderson films. You've got Bill Murray, you've got Jason Schwartzman, but there are some really, you know, I think our personal favorites in this film as well. You've got Frances McDormand, she of Fargo.
Right.
You've got Bruce Willis, Edward Norton, Harvey Keitel, and Tilda Swinton. And, you know, actually the movie is kind of the story of these two young kids who fall in love and basically run away from home. They're played by newcomers, Jared Gilman and Kara Hayward, but it's these adults that basically go off in search of them. So you've got Bruce Willis as a sheriff, you've got Edward Norton as a scout leader, and well, basically it comes down to these great actors and Wes Anderson's very distinct style.
I gotta be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of Wes Anderson. I think he relies a little bit too much on quirk and
right.
cutesiness, but I really enjoyed Bottle Rocket, which is one of his first films, and like I mentioned, The Fantastic Mr. Fox was one I loved too.
It's a completely natural and understandable reaction. You know, I'll try to drag you to this, but I also would understand if you don't come, but Moonrise Kingdom comes out on May 25th. What's your number four?
My number four is Dark Shadows, directed by Tim Burton. It's just an amazing cast. Johnny Depp, Michelle Pfeiffer, Johnny Lee Miller, Helena Bonham Carter. Depp and Burton's collaborations have been hit or miss for me, but I think this promises to be a return to what Burton does best. You know, spooky and quirky, kind of like Beetlejuice. This is Depp and Burton's eighth collaboration. It's based on the Gothic soap opera TV series that ran from 1966 to 1971. It was a live daily drama following a family headed by a vampire,
right.
And it has become a huge cult favorite. It's got everything that you could possibly want. Ghosts, werewolves, witches, warlocks, time travel, parallel universes. It sounds just ridiculous and crazy and amazing. And the best part is the screenplay is by Seth Graham Smith, who is the author of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies and Abe Lincoln Vampire Hunter.
Yeah, those mashup novels are a big hit, and actually they're coming out as movies as well. In fact, Pride and Prejudice and Zombies is coming out next year, but
right.
I definitely love the combination here.
We have cameos from Alice Cooper as himself and
love
appearances
it.
By a few members of the original cast. Naturally, the score will be by Danny Elfman, and I can't wait to see what Danny Elfman comes up with for this movie. Right now, the entire series is available for streaming on Netflix.
Yeah, I don't think I've watched this series. I've heard about it. In fact, just this past week, there was an episode of This American Life talking about convention life, and it was about a guy who went to his first Dark Shadows convention, and they talk about how kind of campy and ridiculous this TV series was because it was a vampire supernatural soap opera daily, like, and because it was live, they would make mistakes, they'd leave scripts on the bed, there'd be prop guys in the background. It sounds really, really cool. So are you going to watch it on Netflix before you go to see this movie?
I'm going to see as much of it as I can. This was one of my mom's favorite shows when she was young.
Well, maybe this is something you can bond over. That's a great pick. Dark Shadows opens on May 11th. My number three is Cloud Atlas, and this one's on the list purely on the basis of the team behind it, and it is the Wachowskis. Not the Wachowski brothers anymore. One of them's not a brother anymore, but, you know, I still give them lots of credit, and I still want to see what they can do. We haven't seen them at work since Speed Racer a few years ago. Not really the most critically acclaimed film, but still, you had The Matrix over a decade ago now. V for Vendetta, really well received. There's just something about their style that I'm not ready to give up on. And once again, I think it's the cast that's the finishing touch. You've got Tom Hanks, which at least made me raise my eyebrows. Hugh Grant as well, probably in that category. Hugo Weaving, Susan Sarandon, Halle Berry, and it's an ensemble cast because the setup is really interesting. It's based on a book by David Mitchell that came out back in 2004, and the story basically connects very different people throughout a huge stretch of time. I mean, six interconnected stories. It's a little bit like that World is Flat setup that we've been talking a lot about lately, whether it's Touch or Babel or a Crash. But mm-hmm. imagine if everything's just connected end to end. And these six stories just, again, you know, they span a long period of time. They start with a trans-Pacific voyage, a Pacific Voyager in the 1850s, and it goes through the United Kingdom in the near future, and then a little bit beyond that, you're in Korea, and then a distant post-apocalyptic future. I am a sucker for post-apocalyptic stories, but that last chapter actually has a link to Hawaii. Mm. And once I read that, I was completely on board. I wanted to see this movie and read the book, although you know how I am about books. But the film is backed by a German studio. I hope that's a good thing and not a bad thing. The release date is in October in Europe, but there's no US date yet. I'm just going to be crossing my fingers that it does come out in 2012.
Something about the description really reminds me of that Wong Kar-wai movie, 2024, that was sort of an unofficial sequel to Chungking Express.
Yeah, also it sort of spanned time and everything. And how everything connected. I can see that for sure. And you know that post-apocalyptic Hawaii, I want to know what that vision is like, because one of my many aborted NaNoWriMo, you know, National Novel Writing Month novels was actually about a post-apocalyptic Hawaii. And my friend Dan Zelickman actually made a short film with that kind of a vision as well. So to see this on the big screen would be pretty darn cool. What's your number three?
My number three is Looper, directed by Rian Johnson. Johnson directed Brick, which is one of my favorite movies. We actually talked about it in a double feature here on the show. His follow-up to Brick, The Brothers Bloom, wasn't quite as successful as Brick. This movie was announced in 2008, so it's been in the works for a while. It stars Joseph Gordon-Levitt and Bruce Willis and Emily Blunt, Paul Dano from There Will Be Blood, and Garrett Dillahunt from Raising Hope. He's about to have a really busy year. It's kind of described as a sci-fi mob flick. Gordon-Levitt is a hitman who is a looper, which is a killer who takes out people that are sent from the future, because it's really easy to get away with murder if there's no body.
Right.
It sounds like familiar sci-fi territory, but I think Johnson can put a fresh spin on the sci-fi genre, just as he did for detective films in Brick. He really breathes new life into something very familiar. The thing I'm most excited about is the director and writer of Primer, Shane Carruth, worked with Johnson on the film, talking about small films that you really need to see. Primer is a great one. It's going to twist your head in knots, and you're going to need a chart to figure it out, but I promise it's worth it. And I think the guy who wrote and directed Primer and Rian Johnson together, that sounds like magic.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the icing on the cake. I loved Primer, and you know, Rian Johnson doing time travel slash hitman movie and everything, if it's anywhere near as cool as what Johnson did for the noir genre with Brick, with the sci-fi genre here, that absolutely I'm very interested. They have a Tumblr production blog if you want to see stills and shots from the putting together of this film at loopermovie.tumblr.com. Some interesting things that I read online, like they changed the setting of this film to China, mm-hmm. in part because it was a Chinese company that eventually helped fund the film. So it's sort of the not too distant future where China has the best technology in the world and they invented time travel. But I'm very excited about Looper. Opens September 28th. My number two is, going back perhaps to the obvious, to the most hyped of the year, and it is The Hobbit. But this is a emotional pick as well. I mean, it's one of the first books I remember reading as a kid. And, you know, Lord of the Rings, the trilogy, all of that, it was great, but that was actually a sequel, almost a retelling of the simpler story in The Hobbit. And we've been waiting for this movie since Peter Jackson wrapped The Lord of the Rings in 2003. Of course, it actually feels like this film wasn't going to happen at one point. Peter Jackson was looking for a change. He didn't want to do this film. Then MGM, which owned half of this project, went bankrupt. You had Guillermo del Toro signed up to be the director, which I thought would be kind of an interesting switch instead, but then he dropped out. But, eventually Jackson was back on top. The production finally got rolling. Del Toro kept a writing credit, and of course, the cast from the Rings trilogy returns, or, you know, comes back in time. You've got Ian McKellen as Gandalf. You've got Elijah Wood, Cate Blanchett, Orlando Bloom, Ian Holm, Hugo Weaving, and, of course, Andy Serkis, he of the snubbed Oscar Oscar for motion animation, but there are some pretty cool new faces turning up. You've got Martin Freeman. He was Watson in the BBC reboot of Sherlock, and we just discovered that thanks to our daughter. We love that series. He's playing Bilbo Baggins, which I think is just great. You've got Evangeline Lilly from Lost. She's playing an elf named Tariel, and that's not making some people happy because she doesn't actually exist in the book. And you've got Richard Armitage, who was in Captain America, and he's the leader of the dwarves in The Hobbit. And it's Jackson. It's a sweeping fantasy story. No doubt there's going to be mind-boggling effects, and Jackson's not just filming this film in 3D, but also at 48 frames per second. All the film nerds are completely going nuts because it's twice the speed of regular film, and it's supposed to look that much better. The only downside, and I don't know why I didn't hear about this until doing the research for our list, is that they're going to split The Hobbit, this one book, into two parts. So it comes out December 14th for part one. It'll be next December for part two, but still, I'm completely on board for The Hobbit.
I am incredibly excited for The Hobbit. I've loved all of the Lord of the Rings movies, and the fact that a lot of the original cast is going to be in this movie makes me doubly excited.
Well, we are missing one Hobbit, Dominic Monaghan, but I think it would be kind of weird for him to show up with that elf on the set. But in any case, what is your number two?
My number two is The Hunger Games from the novels by Suzanne Collins. We've talked about the books, and honestly, I was skeptical of the movie at first, but now I am really looking forward to it. If you're not familiar with the stories, The Hunger Games is a story of post-apocalyptic America in which adolescent children are forced to fight to the death in televised games. I'm excited about the cast. It stars Jennifer Lawrence from Winter's Bone and X-Men First Class as Katniss, Josh Hutcherson from The Kids Are Alright as PETA, Liam Hemsworth as Gale, and Woody Harrelson, incredibly. I was really picturing Mickey Rourke as Haymitch, but I think Woody Harrelson will do a pretty good job as well. Hailee Steinfeld from True Grit was in consideration for Katniss, and I was really hoping she would get it until I saw the first stills and the trailers that came out, and it made me really excited to see Jennifer Lawrence in this part. It also stars Donald Sutherland as President Snow, Stanley Tucci, and even Lenny Kravitz as Cinna. Believe it or not, Steven Soderbergh was the second unit director on this film. The soundtrack was produced by the Civil Wars. Our friend Jeff has recommended the Civil Wars to us, and I'm really into them now, and I'm enjoying the theme also that is out now. It's performed by Taylor Swift, and it was written by Taylor Swift and T-Bone Burnett. It seems that everybody's really confident that this film is going to do well because the adaptations for Catching Fire and Mockingjay, the sequels, are already in the works.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about it too, and I've not even read the books. We're going to be there opening night with our daughter Katie, probably at midnight, with all of the other fans. The film comes out on March 23rd. Finally, for our countdown, my number one most anticipated film of 2013 is The Master. Now, we've talked many times about our appreciation for Philip Seymour Hoffman turning up last year in both Moneyball and Ides of March, and that made us long for the days that he worked with Paul Thomas Anderson, like he did in Magnolia and Boogie Nights and other films, and we're going to get that combination again with The Master. And it's a controversial film. It's probably going to get Scientologists all riled up, and for me, that makes it even more promising. Hoffman is going to play the Master, who leads the Cause, a mysterious religion that sweeps across America. You've got Joaquin Phoenix among his followers. He quickly becomes his right-hand man and then starts to have doubts about the Cause and its leader. Some of the other members of the cast include Amy Adams and Laura Dern. You've got Jesse Plemons,
Landry,
you may know, yes, from Friday Night Lights. And I guess they're playing the Master's wife and son. That's a heck of a family. Now, this production has been stalled several times. It's obviously shrouded in secrecy. The script has been revamped. A lot of people are wondering if it had to be softened a bit because of the perhaps people reading in the Scientology storyline, but I'm still really excited about it. And the score for this movie, to top it all off, is being done by Radiohead's Johnny Greenwood, being filmed on 65mm. That's as good as IMAX. The only downside is that it might not come out this year. I'm starting to see it pop up here and there as a possible 2013 release, so I'm putting it on my list here to just sort of maybe nudge it over that line. What is is your number one film?
My number one is Django Unchained, directed by Quentin Tarantino. His last film was Inglourious Basterds, which was a revisionist history, and it seems like he's going back to kind of the same thing. It's described as a spaghetti western meets slave drama, and frankly, the subject matter does make me a tiny bit wary, but I am an unapologetic Tarantino fangirl, so I really have no choice but to see it.
Well, you know, they talk about sensitive subject matter with the slavery storyline, but this is the guy who had Jewish soldiers get revenge on Hitler for the Holocaust, so if that's not sensitive, I don't know what is. I think this is typical for a Tarantino production going into it. It sounds like it could be a huge disaster, but it usually comes out to be genius.
Jamie Foxx stars as Django, an escaped slave out to rescue his wife, played by Kerry Washington. Also stars Christoph Waltz from Inglourious Basterds as a bounty hunter, and Leonardo DiCaprio as a plantation owner, and also some familiar faces from other Tarantino films. Samuel L. Jackson, Kurt Russell, who is replacing Kevin Costner, MC Gainey from Lost, Garrett Dillahunt, Don Johnson. This is exciting. If anybody can resurrect Don Johnson's career, it is Tarantino. Tom Savini. Tom Savini is known for his special effects work in a lot of horror films, and he had a role in From Dusk Till Dawn. Also, Sacha Baron Cohen. I'm a little worried about what Sacha Baron Cohen is going to do, but he could really surprise us. Garrett Dillahunt posted photos to his TwitPic, and the film is using the same set as Deadwood, and they're about to start filming in New Orleans.
Yeah, I mean, it's still in production, but they're very confident about a December 25th, yes, a Christmas Day release, and I would put that high on my list as well. Django Unchained from Quentin Tarantino, and those are our top five most anticipated films of 2012. Although we're running out of time, I did want to ask if you had any films that almost made your top five, any runners-up for 2012?
I have three. John Carter comes out next month. It stars Taylor Kitsch from Friday Night Lights. Bryan Cranston is in it. Michael Giacchino is doing the music. I guess this film in some form has been kicking around since like the 1930s. It looks really interesting. Gravity, directed by Alfonso Cuarón. It stars Sandra Bullock and George Clooney. Normally that pairing would not excite me that much, but I really love Alfonso Cuarón. And Lincoln, directed by Steven Spielberg and starring Daniel Day-Lewis.
Yeah, that one looks really interesting. You know, John Carter, we've seen the trailers. It actually looks kind of ridiculous in sci-fi way, but I mean, it looks like a lot of fun. And yeah, Taylor Kitsch, I'm on board for that. I had a couple. I had Brave from Pixar. And I mean, this was actually one of the first titles that I put on my list, but it just got bumped off. Apologies to Greg in Seattle. I really don't know where this one's going to go. It's their first female lead. It's their first fairy tale. I'm hoping that it's dark and daring and not what the trailers look like, which make it kind of look like a DreamWorks film, but that's there. And also World War Z, directed by Mark Forster. He did Stranger Than Fiction and Quantum of Solace. This is a post-apocalyptic zombie movie. Everybody loves zombies, and it's got Brad Pitt, Matthew Fox, Bryan Cranston. So, you know, I think it'll be kind of cool. There was a book, and it was actually recommended to us by Derek in Louisville, Kentucky last May, but I probably will see the movie first. A little less high would probably be The Avengers. I know a lot of people are excited about that one. I'm just kind of worried if all of those characters can share the same screen. You've got a Ridley Scott film, Prometheus, which is not quite a Alien prequel. Sort of interested, again, also sort of worried. And a new Bond film, you know, Daniel Craig back at it, called Skyfall, and I'm really hoping that it can come back up to where it was when they started. But we know there are still a lot of other great movies coming out this year that we've missed, so we'd love to hear about them. And actually, if you've got your finger on the pulse of television and books or music in the coming year as well, we basically welcome any recommendation for 2012.
You can leave a voicemail at 815-310-0808. You can email us at feedback@popspotting.net, and you can leave a comment on the blog at popspotting.net.
You can also find us on Facebook at facebook.com/popspotting and on Twitter at twitter.com/popspotting. Before we go, we want to say thanks, as always, to Dan Pashman of The Sporkful for making our theme song, and we really want to thank you for listening to our little show.
For Popspotting, I'm Jen.
And I'm Ryan.
Aloha.